from 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." This is a love celebration. This is something that is precious, I know, to Lance and Megan. But this is a celebration of love, of what he does in them and through them. Let's pray. Father, I can't probably count the many times in my walk with you, how many times I have asked if I'm truly your son. How many times have I heard the question, am I truly your child? Is there really a sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice for me specifically? And yet, God, it is by your love that these things are confirmed. And we have confirmed those things in Lance and Megan. Beyond any kind of formal ceremony, your love is being made complete in them and through them. You are a loving, generous, gracious Father. All these good things come from your hand. And so we establish, even in a service that calls attention to your confirming love, to your moving of ministry and of life and of your spirit through Lance and Megan, we establish first it is because of Jesus Christ that we are here this morning. Jesus, is by your death that we are atoned, that we are forgiven, that we are reconciled. And so we celebrate these things because of who you are. Not because of what Lance has done as far as getting through a testing, but God, because of who you are, we stand here redeemed, reconciled, and able to celebrate the love that you have even this morning for Lance and Megan and the boys. So our time is yours. We are yours. And just thanks for inviting us into your family. Thank you for inviting Lance and Megan into your family, reconciling them, forgiving them, making a new creation in them. And I thank you for the love that you share through them. Jesus, we pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
Delighted to be here with you. For those of you who don't know me, I am the stiff in the suit from the district office. And I didn't get the casual memo from Pastor Brian. He does that on occasion just to stick it to me in Jesus' name, which is what has happened again today. So that's okay. I find my own ways in shaping his life, so it's all good. It's all good. I don't know if you realize this when you come in week to week, but the flow of service and all of the parts and pieces, that just doesn't happen by accident. There's like this incredible orchestration that goes on to put on what ends up being the service, and no more so than on this particular instance, because not only did Lance craft his own service, but then he had to manage me. And so I'm actually supposed to be at Westview Alliance, a sister church just down the road, at about this time bringing the message. And I thought I was doing that and doing this evening up until 5 or so days ago. And it was only through some crazy circumstance that I realized that Lance and I, for the first time in 7 years, were not on the same page. And that our wires had been crossed, and my omnipresent skills are not as strong as they once were, and that this was going to be a very interesting morning. Now, Pastor Brian, being the professional that he is, would have managed quite well, maybe even seamlessly, but nevertheless, We are here and just so glad to be a part of you as our family. I've known Lance for 7 years, so this is really personal from me and for me to be able to be here. I've played golf with he and his dad, and when Brian and I wanted to cheat in a particular tournament, it took us a long time to wear Lance down. And so his dad was all in right away. But Lance wanted to hold that line. He ended up caving in to the pressure, but nevertheless, he demonstrated some incredible character in the midst of some strong opposition. And we ended up doing fairly well. His dad had to carry us, but that's for another day and another story. He does manage some really dear friends of mine who constantly create chaos. One is Pastor Brian, and you've come to know and expect that. And what Lance does to bring order and beauty in the midst of the madman and all of his cogitation is amazing. And then another dear friend, Tony Hudson, a Blue Jacket, Lance makes that organization hum. And it is not because of Tony. It's in spite of Tony that that happens. And I hold Lance in such high regard. Obviously, God's hand is upon him. And this morning is really an opportunity for us to trail what Jesus has already been doing. And I love it when we have the opportunity to trail him instead of trying to lead him. And that is so evident in this service this morning. Because Jesus has been doing a beautiful thing in Lance and Megan for a long time. And what we get to the opportunity to put our hands upon and to say yes and amen to is that Jesus has been building his character into Lance. Jesus has been building competency into Lance. And Jesus has called Lance to a life and a work of ministry, irrespective of title, irrespective of place, that Jesus has called him. And we get to recognize that. We get to affirm what Jesus has already been doing, what he continues to do, and what he promises he will see through to the very end. And so this morning we celebrate Jesus in Lance. Jesus' calling. Jesus' character. Jesus' competency. And so it's a really comfortable place to be this morning because I know our brother. And I've seen Jesus in him. I've heard Jesus through him. I've watched Jesus work as he brings love and leading to you, a family that he and Megan are all in with. I mean, in some sense, this is one of your kids. That yes, you've shaped him, and he's shaped you, and Jesus is shaping everybody. And we get to celebrate that this morning. Now, there's a bit of rigor to it, and there's some formality to it. At least in my attire. And I'm certain this is Lance's work. He has given you the document. As a matter of fact, this document served as a bit of what was going to be my opening. But as we were worshiping, I was throwing that away because Lance had already put it together as usual. And now it's extemporaneous Bob, which is always a bit dangerous. But on there, you will recognize that as a family of churches called the Midwest District of the Christian Missionary Alliance, we have put a significant amount of rigor, a significant amount of pressure, a significant amount of investment and examination to be able to come to this morning and say, yes and amen. Jesus is in and through and accomplishing things through Lance. And so you can look at all of those things. There's some educational investment. There's some significant writing he has had to do. There have been several examinations that he has had to walk through, both written as well as then sitting before a group of peer guys who asked him the hard question, who looked a bit more deeply into his life, who examined the rigor of what he had written, how he is thinking, how he has practiced a life of one who is called. And they came away incredibly affirming to your pastor of God's hand upon him. And so we are we're delighted to be able to kind of put exclamation point on some part of this process and then the starting gun from some other additional part of the process. And so, again, I'm really, really glad to be here. Delighted to be able to share in this moment. And so what Lance has asked is a couple of the guys who he has been living out some pretty intense life with, Pastor Ben and Pastor Brian, are going to come. They're going to give a bit of a personal charge to him. And then my wife, Mary Kay, who is here this morning, has asked and will take a couple of minutes just to give some things to Megan by way of some words and an opportunity to pray over her, because we really see Lance and Megan as one, because that's how Jesus sees them. They're one flesh, not just in marriage, not just in parenting, but in life and ministry. And so Megan's role in the midst of this is exceedingly important. And she's the bomb, as you well know. That's a good word. I know in today's vernacular that may have been hijacked, another bad word. But the reality is Megan is extraordinarily gifted and called and beautifully equipped to come along with Lance to bring love and leading into all that Jesus has for them to be and to do. And so I want to be able to share in that. And then after that, we'll have an opportunity for Lance to respond to some questions. And then for us as a family to pray over him. And then I've asked him to come and to open up his heart in response. So it's just going to be a really beautiful time as a family, again, to celebrate what Jesus has done, what he's doing, what he promises to continue to do. So why don't you pray with me? Let's invite his manifest presence again. And then we'll move through the rhythm of our time. Jesus, thanks that you are the ruler of the over all of the kings of the earth. And you're the lover of our souls. Thanks for rescuing Lance and calling him to yourself. Thank you for calling him to the things of your heart. Thank you for the way that you've beautifully gifted him, equipped him, prepared him. And Jesus, it is with delight and with affirmation that we say yes and amen to what you're doing, what you have done, what you will do in our brother, in his wife, in their family. And Jesus, by your Spirit, we want you to know that you are welcome here. Would you flood this place? Jesus, would you fill the atmosphere of this place with your presence? Would you be delighted? Would your name be lifted up as we recognize, as we celebrate, as we lay our hands upon your son and your servant, Lance? And so we are just delighted to be a part of this. We tell you we love you, Jesus. We pledge allegiance to you as our King. And we ask that you would accomplish what concerns us in these moments that we share together. Amen. Pastor Ben.
Well, thanks for Lance for letting me share and be a part of this. Yeah, it's just amazing looking at the full journey, the perseverance that God has given you, that you pushed in. I remember early mornings you'd invite me to work on ordination stuff, and you just plugged away at it. You plugged away at it, and you knocked it out. And you prepared like probably no one else has ever prepared for these things, but you've made it, and we affirm and confirm that God is in your midst, in your heart, and at work, and he's using you. So thanks for letting me share a little bit. And wouldn't you know it, we're working through 1 Corinthians, and God led me to 1 Corinthians. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 3 for the three charges here. If you want to open, that's fine. We're going to look at the passage that Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking about who is Apollos, who is Paul, that we all follow Christ. And Lance, it might be weird, and one of my first challenges is to stay humble, but we put you right up there with Paul, that that you are a man of God and that he is using you to lead. So 1 Corinthians 3, and we'll read 5 through 19. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters it is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may be wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. So just as, and these charges are more like, keep it going. Because I affirm and I see them in your life, and I know that there's work to be done, and God has a lot in store for you. So the first charge I would say is to be a servant. That puts us in a place of humility, that God does the work, that it's not us, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow, that we as servants, and you, Lance, as a servant, reflect on who God is. You show people who God is. And just as that, I got the picture of that collecting tower, that if we are at a solar plant, you collect all of that sun and you put it to that one spot, that that collecting tower, that we are reflections and we are pointing to God. And as a servant, he has assigned you a task. And I've seen this in your life, whether it's teaching at Blue Jacket or here, that you are called to be a builder. That God has laid the foundation, that on Jesus Christ, the foundation has been laid for the church and for your heart. That he has gifted you and that he has made you for who you are. And that he's given you that skill set. He's given you a blueprint that he wants you to build up his church, whether that's telling the lost about him, whether it's building up, or whether it's exhorting other people to know him better. And as a builder, we need to use good materials. And whatever we do, if we live within and in line with the Spirit, our work stands. So I challenge you as a builder that live in the Spirit, follow the Spirit's leading, know the Spirit's voice, because your work will be tested. Your work in your heart, your work in the people, your work in your family. So I just, I challenge you, don't let the battering waves of this world knock down your standards. Don't let Bob knock down your standards and your ways in your golf game. Don't let the battering waves erode your work. And when the fire comes, when the heat comes, don't let your work unravel and crumble. And in this life, when a truck rams into your life's entrance, don't let your front wall buckle. Don't let it fall. Worldly standards and worldly wisdom won't accomplish all that God desires in us. So he challenges us. He says, don't be wise in the world, but the third charge is be God's fool. That put aside the world's standards, the world's wisdom won't accomplish the greatness of what God wants in you, wants in the church, wants in this world. So when God tells you to do something, you do it. And know his voice. It's so important that he might tell you something crazy, but if you know his voice, then you know that that is what you should do. If he tells you to take on a giant of this world, then do it. You can do it with his power. If he tells you to accomplish something or to conquer something that you need to walk around it a million times, then walk it because those walls will fall. And so I challenge you, listen to his voice, know his voice, and be God's fool. He calls us to be humble, to be a servant. He calls you to be a builder of his people. And he calls you to be his fool, that those great things might be accomplished.
I told Bob to wear shorts and a tank top. He did exactly the opposite, which he usually does. We truly believe that God has created us not only spiritually anew, we're not new and improved, but he's created us anew. And yet there are so many things that he has hardwired into us. There are so many things that he does that develops us, that matures us. And so what we do is we look deeply into those things that we would know who we are individually so that collectively we would know how to submit to one another. How that works in continuity and relationship, we feel these things are really important. Lance's personality is described as the inspector. Now, think about Lance. You love him, you know him, the inspector. So the first time I met with the leadership that was here when we came 7 years ago, we met in Mansfield's living room. And it was a time for me to share my heart, and I shared my heart, and the district superintendent was there, and it was a great time of relationship building, and just there was just goodwill had by all. Well, I can remember in my head, even in this moment, Lance sat over by the fireplace in a chair, and he had his glasses, and he would sometimes would fiddle with his glasses, and there would be some laughter and some good time there, and Lance just sort of sat there, and I think he was looking for an opening. And so finally, you know, there's some questions back and forth. Lance didn't say anything. So at the end, John, our district superintendent, said, do you guys have any final questions? And Lance says, yes, I do. I have a question. Where do you stand on church discipline? That was a very sobering question, and I don't know if I answered it adequately, but it is what I love about Lance. There is nothing that is too deep for him. There's depth to his relationships. There's depth to his inquiries. There's reasoning. He's a thinker. He's a processor. I don't know if you know this about Lance, but if you come to him and you say, okay, I've got some questions on these things, he probably will not give you an answer right away. It's because of the depth of one, the depth of research and inquiry he wants to go through in his own heart. And then it's the other thing is he wants to be true in his answer to you. He wants you to know what he really feels, what he really believes, where the depth of his convictions are. That's just the kind of guy he is. So yes, when we're on the golf course and we want to cheat, it is like pulling teeth from him. He will not do it because he is a man of conviction. He's a man of purity. These things resonate with me, not because I try to cheat all the time. That probably didn't come out right. These things resonate with me because I am quick to do anything. If I see something, I'm just like, yep, we're doing it. We're going. And not only does Lance want to look into those things, but he has concern for you. Probably the thing that would hurt him the most is if we did something, stepped out, that caused some kind of pain or hurt to this body. He has a deep, passionate love for you people. And even if I say something that would be contrary, I am confronted and saying, wait a minute, have you thought about this? What is the impact on the church? I need that balance. I need that in my life. So this comes to the point where I will give a charge. You know, everybody's been saying so many nice things about Lance. I just think I just need to be critical at this point. Maybe I need to give you the things that he is very lacking in. I'm kidding. Because Lance is an inspector, because he sees things, you can't get much by him. He's receptive, he's discerning, he's wise, he processes, and when he comes to a conviction, he knows it. A lot of times, God does not move in logic. The majority of the time, he doesn't operate in what is reasonable. And so many times, Lance, in those times, I am so grateful for your input and your investment into me, the things you speak into my life. But I dream a little bit. And I dream a lot of it for you and for Megan and for the kids. And I believe that for you, God is going to say some things that are going to be cold water to the face. It's going to rock your world. And in the way you operate, which is beautiful in the way God created you, you process through these things. And I think there's going to be a time where God says, okay, I want you to put your thinking down. I want you to lay down your expectations. I want you to lay down the convictions maybe that you have developed, and I'm going to open up you to a reality of life of an increasing faith. And I cannot wait for that time when you guys step into that and people will say, that's just not like Lance. That is just not like Lance. But I believe that God's going to do some things, and you're as a couple and as a family, that he has already created out here. And the obstacle will be, are you able to step into that without fully processing it yet? Without fully coming to a reasonable understanding of what's going on? I'm not saying you guys haven't done that, because you've done that over and over and over again. But it seems to me that in proportion to what God does in the heart, he calls us into stepping out to a great extent. And there's something there, and I can't tell you what that is, but there's something there he has created for you. And it's not merely that you would do something, but I believe it's because God wants to reveal more of himself to you in the process, that you would fall more, even more deeply in love with him, that there would be a manifestation of his spirit maybe that you've not seen, that he wants to do something fresh. And I believe for you, Lance, it's going to take a step of faith, a large step of faith, because it's probably not going to be logical and it's probably not going to be reasonable. But I believe in the end, God will demonstrate to you that he is the creator of all things, that he is the creator of all opportunities, and that his kingdom is not going to be stopped, and it's going to be extended through you, through your family. And I honestly cannot wait to see and to wait and watch that happen. Mary Kay would look good in anything she wore. But I would say that, okay, just go ahead and...
It's really dangerous to give me a microphone and a platform. But I'm going to be self-controlled. Megan, I'm honored that I get to speak with you. I'm not going to charge you with anything. I just want to talk to you for a minute. First of all, I want to remind you that the district that you get to be a part of and that you are a part of places such a high value on you. Not only the role that you play with Lance, the two of you together being a team, your role as a mom, your role as a pastor's wife, but you as an individual, that you represent God on earth. And you have an aspect of God and his nature that Lance doesn't carry because you're feminine. And you're beautiful, and you have something to contribute to this body that he needs you to be verbal about and vocal. And so I want to encourage you to be bold and be who God made you to be, and let that light shine from you that God's placed in you. Lance needs that, and this body needs that. And we hold you in very high regard. I heard a report a few years ago that rang true to me. One of the hardest jobs in America is being a pastor, psychologically and emotionally, but the one that trumps it is being a pastor's wife. It's a difficult job because sheep are really great animals, but often they bite, and when they bite your husband. And so the role of a pastor's wife, not only do you have the expectations of the congregation, but you have your husband that you love and honor and cherish, and you watch him as he stands and pours his heart out before people, and you are you're a firm foundation for him emotionally. And so I want to encourage you that you get your needs met and you get your tank filled from the one who loves you because you're you and because God is God, not because of what you do in this body, not because of the beautiful talents that you have, not because of the amazing way that you love those who need extra love, but because you're Megan and he made you. And he has wonderful words of life to give to you. And when I asked him what it was that he wanted you to know, he reminded me that there are things that you've shared with him that you've not shared with anybody else. And that there are deep things in your heart that you're trusting him for. And he wants you to know that he hears you. And that you can trust him with those things, and he's a good God. And so you be faithful to do what he's called you to do, and you leave those things in his hands, and he'll accomplish them. And with that, I want to read to you a verse from Hebrews. It's from Hebrews 13. It says, "Now may the God of peace strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. Amen." And just a reminder that he's the one who does the work in you. You don't have to do the work. You keep your eyes on him, let him work in you, and you keep being faithful to what he's called you and gifted you to do. Why don't you come up here and let me pray over you? Father, I thank you so much that before Megan was even born, you knew her. You knew how you would gift her. You knew what you were calling her to. That you crafted her together, you formed a beautiful personality, And now you've poured yourself into her in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the reminder that you hold her heart. You hold the desires of her heart, the angst of her heart, that you know her in those deep places, and that you're trustworthy and you're a good God. And that ultimately you're her father and her husband. I pray that you would fill her afresh with your spirit, that you would remind her of her value in you, that her identity is in you. And I pray, God, that you would use her to not only light this place on fire with the love for you that she has in her heart, but that you would use her to light a fire in this world, that she would represent you, that she would be your mouthpiece, that she would be an example of Jesus here. I pray that you would bless her and protect her from the evil one. And I pray, God, that as she comes alongside Lance to bring leading, that she would be his biggest cheerleader, and that you would use them, God. You would use them for your glory. I just commit her to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome. Stay up here.
Lance, I have some questions that I want. They're incredibly difficult. They are questions of affirmation. And after each question, I'd like for you to respond. Lance, are you persuaded that you are truly called to God's ministry according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ?
Absolutely.
Do you accept the doctrine, the government, and fellowship of the Christian and Missionary Alliance and purpose to faithfully minister toward the wide diffusion of the gospel in its fullness, the promotion of a deeper and higher Christian life, and the work of evangelism, especially among unreached peoples here in the U.S. and abroad, and therein in some way hasten the return of King Jesus? If so, would you respond with, "I will"?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Lance, are you persuaded that the scriptures contain sufficiently all truth required for mankind's salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Are you determined out of the same scriptures so to instruct the people committed to your charge that they may enter into eternal life?
Yes.
Do you purpose to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of your personal and private devotions, to keep yourself unspotted from the world, to live a life of purity of heart and of daily prayer, that you may minister to others of that which first of all you received through the fellowship of your life with the Holy Spirit?
Through his power, yes.
Well then, we as representing the Midwest District Fellowship of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and in testimony of this high purpose, do now solemnly ordain you and set you apart for the work of Christian ministry. Lance, Megan, pledging you our love, our prayers, and our steadfast cooperation, that we may work together in all ways of the Lord, making him known even as he has made himself known to us. Amen. And so why don't you come out here in the middle, and I'm going to invite family and other folks, certainly Brian and Susan, Ben and Annie, if you're able to, if young Josh is on his way somewhere, would come forward, and let's lay our hands on them. It's open to any and all of us, and I'll just put vocalization to that prayer. So let's pray. Father, even in this room, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Witnesses of your work of grace in Lance. And Father, we recognize that you have set him apart,
that you have called him yes to yourself, and you have called him yes to the ministry. And we ask for a fresh impartation of your father heart into Lance, that you would so fill him with the reminder, with the evidence of your love, your power, your goodness. Would it continue to set his identity? Would it continue to invite him into the trajectory you have crafted for him to walk in? We pray that you would give him a fresh impartation of your power. Holy Spirit, would you fall upon your servant? Would you quicken his mind? Would you keep his heart supple? Would you give strength to his hands and feet as he walks with you, Father? And as he loves and leads those you have given him responsibility to and for. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would protect our brother from the evil one. And we rebuke you, enemy, in the name and the authority of our King, of our Savior, the King of all the creation. That Lance would know a fresh impartation of the blood of Jesus over his life, over his ministry, over his wife, over his children. God, that everything Lance touches, would it flourish. That he would be a fruitful bough. That he would be spectacle in a world that is desperate to see you work in and through men and women. Pray that you would give him a hunger and a thirst for you, a hunger and a thirst for your word, a hunger and a thirst for your spirit. That out of the richness of that relationship, God, he would be empowered to walk in all that you have for him to do. That you would give him identity, perspective, perseverance, strength, fruitfulness. And so, Father, it seems good and right to us, and good and right by your Holy Spirit, that we lay our hands upon Lance and we set him apart for all that you have been doing, all that you have done, and all that you will do. And God, it is a beautiful thing. Would you bless him? Would you protect him? Would you empower and fill him? We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And now he has to get up and speak. This should be good.
Well, this is a little overwhelming. Praise God. It's because of Jesus that I can stand here and pledge to pour myself out to you, his people. Come hell or high water. It's because of him. However, I know that I don't stand here alone. I know that I don't stand here by my own strength. I know that I am really just following the path that has been put before me by many and many who are actually here this morning. My earliest memories in the church that I grew up in were sitting with my grandpa and grandma in the pew, sharing a hymnal, catching a nap where I could, getting a stick of gum for my grandpa every Sunday. It was a highlight. My experience of church growing up was wonderful. In my family, my grandparents, my aunt and uncles, my parents, they all had a love for Jesus. And it rubbed off in many ways. And because of that, in many ways, I kept myself out of trouble as a kid, for the most part. And I thought I was good enough for Jesus. But it wasn't until someone clearly explained to me the gospel that I really understood. It wasn't until I was 15 years old, 26 years ago, a man and a woman were assigned to our church there in Edgerton. And they came, and they had just come from a difficult situation, and they came and they invested into us. They, Steve and Becky Wilmot are their names. They're here this morning. And I remember sitting with Becky in the library of the church. And she gave an illustration to me that just really made it crystal clear. And the choice was, in many regards, mine. Did I want Christ or did I want my own righteousness? And in that moment, I knew that I wanted Jesus. And it was because of his faithfulness through her and her husband, Steve, that I had that opportunity. And then they modeled a ministry of love that then I can pass on to you, my family here at ACC, for years and years. Many years later, well, many to me, I guess it was about 8 years later. No, actually more than that. 1998. No, sorry. Getting my chronological order mixed up here. Let's see, it would have been 2007. We had just, Megan and I had been married. We had lived in Pittsburgh for years and had just come back here to Fort Wayne. We were looking for a church. We came through those doors, and there was a small group here at that time. And yet there was another pastor and his wife that were here that were faithfully preaching the gospel that day. And Megan and I really knew within the first 5 minutes of being here in this church that this is where God wanted us to serve and attend and be. And it was through the ministry of Gus and Lynn Hacker that we felt welcomed here. And that for me personally, having just been through a difficult experience of my own wilderness experience, so to speak, of those years in Pittsburgh, that Gus asked me some questions that I just didn't really appreciate. Questions about what is my purpose? Why am I here? What does Jesus really want for me? Questions that really, in some regards, I had been avoiding for years. His patient, diligent, persistent hounding brought me to a place where I came to this realization through my processing and realizing that, no, I hadn't been avoiding a call from Christ, that it was then that he had prepared me, that it was at that point that, yes, he was calling me to serve. And so I'm thankful for another faithful couple that lead by example in the ministry that showed me the way, the path of service. Brian and Susan came. Wasn't really sure what I was getting myself into. But boy, I sure couldn't ask for... a better brother. My brother's name is actually Brian. And so now I have another brother named Brian. And, it has been a joy serving with him here. And then Ben has come along. It's like we're brothers as well. We don't fight as much as the original couple of brothers fought, but Alliance Community Church has been such a blessing to us, a place where we've been able to learn. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't. I'm really just following Jesus and trying to do the best I can to serve and love and minister and preach the truth. And so I thank you for your patience with us as we make mistakes, as we figure this out. Many have asked, well, what does this ordination mean? Does this mean now you're going to have your own church or something? I'm like, no, I've already got a church. It's you all. It's here. I don't have any plans to go anywhere. I want to serve you. However long God has me here, which is, I hope, forever, because this is a beautiful place to serve. As I think back on the journey as well, my parents, Megan's parents, again, such beautiful examples of love and persistence and patience. I've been so blessed to have the family that I have. Many of them are here this morning. That he who began a good work in me so many years ago is someday going to see it to completion. Today is just one of the mile markers. And I am grateful. Grateful that he has called me to serve, to be his ambassador, to be his mouthpiece. And I pray that the example that Megan and I will set and lead here, I look forward to the day, hopefully, when I'll be able to sit in a service and hear about that 26 years ago, Megan or I had said or done something that made an eternal impact on someone else. That's what brings us joy. I don't know what else to say, so I'm going to just pray. Lord Jesus, all that's been said here this morning, please be for your glory. It's all about you. And I thank you that you take ordinary people, some ordinary kid from a small town in Ohio, and you call him and you use him to shape and to extend your kingdom to the ends of this earth. I pray that you would use the ordinariness of all of our lives to bring about extraordinary glory for your name. I thank you for your faithfulness that's on display through the folks who are here today, through the lives that they live. I thank you for the gift that you have given me to be an inspector. As I've watched these people's lives and seen the good and the bad, I can attest again and again and again to your faithfulness. Jesus, would you use today as a launching point, that your will be done in our hearts as it is in heaven. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promise. I thank you for your love. great is thy faithfulness. It's in the matchless name of Jesus, name above all names, that I pray these things. Amen.
Stand together and sing.